All right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hello, how you guys doing? This is Albert Hammond Jr. and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
Hey, this is Michael with WGN Radio in Chicago, and I'm sitting with the man himself, Albert Hammond Jr. What's going on, Albert?
Just arrived here to South by Southwest, the chaos that is South by Southwest.
Right on. How was the ride over here? Where are you coming from?
We played a show in Santa Fe at Meow Wolf, which was an amazing venue. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or been.
So is that's an art collective or something, correct? Is that what I'm looking at?
I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's amazing and beautiful. It's like many rooms creatively done so you can walk through them, and there happens to be a venue in it, and so it kind of felt like playing in an acid trip. It's very, very cool.
That's awesome. So speaking of tours, you're about to embark on a tour for the new album Francis Trouble, which great album, by the way. It kind of hits you right from the start, which I really enjoyed. What are some of your favorite places to play? I know you're playing the Troubadour. You're coming to Chicago on April 6th. You're going to be playing at the Bottom Lounge. So, I mean, I know that you kind of like these smaller venues. Is that true?
No. I mean, I would I'd play arenas if I could. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, I like variety, so it's not like I don't like the smaller venues, but it's not like I feel like I can make things bigger rooms feel intimate too. As favorite places, I mean, it changes. It's like the days, you know. You can go to a place that you haven't had a good show and have a great show. Places where you had great shows can be okay. I think that's what keeps you on your toes, is you never really know what it's going to be like, and it's your challenge. Sometimes even a challenging room could end up, you know, being one of the best shows and on fire at the end, and that's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
You know, so it just all depends, really. It's all how you perceive it, so it's a very weird thing.
Well, speaking of arenas, you just got done playing with the Killers on a big arena tour. How did that go? Because you needed to kind of fire up the audience to get to this really well-known band.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. As soon as I was in those rooms, I realized that I belonged there. And I was like, oh, this is where these songs fit. I don't know, something else took over.
Yeah. Were you vibing with the guys in the Killers?
Yeah, for sure. They were all, every night they'd come back, and we were only there 4 nights, but they'd come back, and a new member would come up and be like, man, your show is awesome. So it was cool.
Right on, man. Right on. So I was looking back into your history a little bit. I saw that you had a connection with wanting to work at a record store when you were young. And that was kind of a dream of yours. Was that kind of what threw you into this music persona and everything? Is it kind of solidified for you?
Well, the thing is, it was just I wanted to work at Kim's because it was like this really cool record store, and you couldn't get a job unless you like someone kind of vouched for you. That was like how it worked. So
you had to know somebody to get in.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how they kind of like, yeah, they had references like that. You couldn't just be like, oh, I want to work there. Mm-hmm. No, it was just, it seemed like that's the first job I got when I was looking for jobs when I moved to New York.
Yeah.
I took a year off from college and I was looking for work. I went to many different places, and the record store hired me, not Kim's, this other one hired me right away. So it just kind of started. I mean, it didn't spawn my love of music, but they definitely gave me music that I never had heard before.
Yeah. You know, I often find life is almost like a Seinfeld episode sometimes, where you meet somebody and they push you in this direction and they push you into that direction. I know that I have a lot of people to thank that I got into radio because of, you know, just bumping in and saying hi. Do you have any people in your life that you can specifically point to that kind of pushed you in, you know, joining the Strokes and then getting into your own solo stuff? Like, any people you could, like, kind of thank for that?
That's a big thing in my life, to try to listen to just the universe kind of put stuff in your way sometimes. I went to, my dad asked me if I wanted to go to this boarding school. I never really thought of it. It's where I met Julian. Then I didn't want to go to college, but I applied to NYU and I got in somehow. And I went there for like a gap year to work, and I moved across the street from where Julian was, and we ended up moving in together a month after I moved into New York. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's all these things. The people, I was walking around with my guitar once, trying to get it fixed, and then someone, you know, used to make the strings for it for a Rickenbacker, and then it met me. It brought me to Richie's guitar shop, which got it fixed, which is where I bought my guitar, which brought me to why is his name? JP Bowersock, who became my guitar teacher in Julian's and an influence in the first two records. So yeah, I mean, that's like, there's a lot of people like that in my life. In the same way with my first record, I stumbled upon Greg Latimer and then met Gus, who I still work with now. Mm-hmm. Life has been a series of people like that.
Yeah. And now the guys you're playing with right now, are they have you played with them before, or is this new?
No. It's okay. First time. This is a new band, and they're all from the Valley in Los Angeles, which is where I was born and raised, so it kind of, I feel like my solo albums have done an amazing arc and have ended me back to where I started, at least in the sense of where everyone was from, you know, when I fell in love with music.
Yeah, right on, man. I really like that, because the album is really cool. I was listening to it throughout the week, because it came out on the 9th.
Good, yeah.
And, you know, you have an amazing story. The concept behind the album is very interesting, of Francis Trouble. Could you go into that story just a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I was working with the idea of an alter ego I'd been doing shadow work, and it felt like the more I pushed away from myself, the closer I got to understanding myself. And then I found out that, I mean, I always knew I had a twin, a stillborn, I think that's what it's called. At 5 months, it came out of my mom. I don't know how to put it, but I feel like we must have collided, because I had left like a fingernail and other like just bits hanging on my placenta. So I found out about that, and it just kind of helped with this alter ego part. It just kind of, once again, we were talking about, you know, the universe giving you stuff, or just like meeting people. It just was like, oh, okay, it's okay to jump into that realm. You know, you're always kind of nervous when you're touching new ground. And yeah, it opened up a whole new door of what I could be, and how I could entertain, and how I could portray these songs as in a live scenario.
Right on, right on. Were there any songs that kind of hit you personally? Because, now, are you 36? Are you turning 36?
No, I found out when I was 36. I'm turning 38 in about a month.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because I was listening that there was some kind of significance.
Well, no, because I found out the album's 36 minutes long. I found out when I was 36 that those numbers equal 9. Album came out March 9th. 2018 is 9. My birthday is April 9th. So all these just like numbers that ended up equaling 9. Not that I'm like, I don't live my life like that, but it's just
like a Jim Carrey, like 23,
yeah,
everywhere.
But it's just like, it's fun to play with, because you know, if it's fun to play with things like that, because you know, you kind of create your own meaning in life. So it's just fun,
yeah.
You know, and entertainment.
No, I feel the same way, because there's a kismet bond, I guess, between me and the number 27. Like every time I see it,
that
like,
equals 9 too.
No, that's just crazy. Now we're getting into a whole new realm of things here.
Yeah, but exactly. That kind of stuff. Just apartments I've lived in, stuff I've done, have all equal this number. And so to have it be in this, for this record to end up here, and with the label I'm on and everything that's happening, it's just, it just felt magical and beautiful.
Yeah.
Why not hold that for a while?
I like that, because I get into like, maybe a little too far into the woo-woo kind of stuff sometimes. But, you know, it keeps me busy. I mean, you got to do that. Speaking, we have a similarity. I'm also a junior.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, you know, you often find yourself trying to find your own identity.
Yes.
The more you're engulfed in, you know, your dad does this, your dad is that, my dad, you know, and you share a lot of similarities. Where do you see yourself finding your identity? Do you think you've found your musical persona and the way you are as a person now, or are you still growing into Albert Hammond?
Junior. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's definitely, you know, I had that with a father, and then you join a band and you get put in a spot, in a place. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sometimes it can be hard to find out what's you. I feel the most me on stage and in this record now. I feel like everything behind me was like working, digging a tunnel to find me. And it's a hard thing to face because you've had to like not be you in front of people,
yeah.
You know? But it's also led me here. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know how to put it.
Yeah. No, that's what I was kind of looking for. You know, you're just always kind of finding yourself. There's always a different path to go on.
I wish I had an answer, but
I like that.
Don't.
All good. So you have the new album Francis Trouble coming out, and yeah, by the way, check it out. I love that opening song that you have on that album. It's a DVSL.
Yeah.
Very Beatlesque kind of. I could hear those punchy choruses. What does DVSL mean?
It's a dark versus light.
Okay.
There's a lot of this album has my best lyrics. I don't know if it's because it's the most truth I've put into it, or I've just lived more things, and so I was able to find a dynamic of, because in a song, you know, because even melody can give you meaning. So in a song, sometimes when you put words, it can go many different ways, but you have to make it, it's like fun and excitement and entertainment mixed with, you know, a release of different things you've experienced.
Yeah. Totally. So on the new tour, you often play a cover or two that I totally enjoy. You've played everything from Dylan to Guided by Voices.
Yeah.
My personal favorite was when you played those Misfits covers.
Yeah, Misfits were. Everyone loves the Last Caress one. I know. I loved playing that song.
Especially in a place like in Chicago where we have smaller venues and everyone can just go crazy and just, you know, jump around and jump on stage. It must feel so good. What's going through your headphones now? Can we expect any covers on this new tour?
I mean, that's kind of my goal is to get everyone moving together and just sweaty and touching and just that visceral experience of if we're going to be in that room together to just move around. I still cover the Postal Blowfish Guided by Voices.
Yes, great song.
Most people don't know it, so they think it's mine, which is also a plus. Sorry, Robert. it's going through my headphones. I mean, nothing I'm going to cover right now. I feel like this record has so many songs to play live. Mm-hmm. I can almost play the whole thing. I think I'm playing almost the whole thing, 7 or 8 songs of it. So, you know, it doesn't leave much room for covering.
Jam-packed. Do you have any good memories of South by Southwest? I know you've played here for a few years now. What's your craziest South by Southwest memory?
I mean, it's all crazy. I was just telling my wife, I woke up this morning and I had, it was the smell of the light or just being here. I had this nostalgia of when I first came here not knowing what it was. I think it was pre-being signed. It was... And I couldn't tell what it made me miss. If it was just like this unknown, the youth, the feeling of success, but not having it yet. There's something about that that's just, I couldn't put my finger on it. But I just had a great nostalgia this morning. That was wonderful. Crazy? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the place in general is crazier than one man could be. Mm-hmm. It has just gotten more and more full. It's like walking around in a giant amusement park.
Kind of.
You know, I'm still hoping for the day when like someone's playing a sax solo in the bathroom. I still kind of want to have, you know, shows where they put people like a singer songwriter in the bathroom. Because that's like what a Portlandia skit would be of South by Southwest.
It's a little, I could see that, you know, the Keep Austin Weird kind of thing.
I played the Convention Center 1 year. Okay. And I don't even think anyone knew that it was here, and it was so strange. I mean, look here. I mean, I guess you're filming it, but we're just in this makeshift. It's just funny.
It is. It's like a little too sterile, almost. It's turning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Your experience from it would be different than mine because I've come in as like a performer, but it's funny that everyone's coming to hear stuff because probably sonically, it's like. everyone's worst show.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I'm just saying there's no time to...
It's speed.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a million...
I mean, one time I wasn't even allowed. It was sold out, and I went out. I forget what I was doing, warming up or doing something, and they wouldn't let me back in because they said it was sold out. And I tried to tell them that I was on stage, so I wasn't taking up any room, but they wouldn't let me in. I'm serious. It wasn't until, like, our walkout song came on and, like, no one could find me that they checked back in the back, and they were like, I was like, he guy won't let me in.
Man, that's a power move if I've ever heard of one.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, well, cool. Well, you're coming to Chicago April 6th, and we're stoked to have you. Always a pleasure. Do you have any cool memories of Chicago that you can share with everybody?
Yeah, lots. I mean, just even the last time I played there, it was amazing. It was bottom lounge. It was just packed, fun night.
Yeah. I think I was there that night, too.
You were? Mm-hmm. It's funny, April 6th, it's like 3 days before my birthday, I'm playing it. I don't know, I love Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a great city.
We love you too. Okay, before I let you go, just one last few questions. Sure. Do you have any guilty pleasures, whether it be with music or in life?
I mean, I try not to feel guilty about things I do.
Good, that's the good answer, yeah.
You know, because I don't know, especially with music, I don't need to, you know, I feel like, whatever, it doesn't matter. No, but I have things that I love, like I think about riding motorcycle and being on track about at least once a day.
What kind of motorcycle do you drive?
I have an R6, which is a Yamaha, just because the R1, I think it's better to learn on. I don't think you'll ever really use where I'm at, the 1000cc, but because I ride track, like with the leather suit and stuff. I don't know if you know MotoGP, but it's like that, but just not in competition.
I had no idea you did that.
Oh, yeah, that's basically, I feel like, my other reason for being alive.
Right on.
I play music, and then when I'm not doing that, I would like to be on a motorcycle on a track.
So is that what you do to kind of keep your mind away from playing music and stuff? Do you get some ideas when you're on the track? Because you can do some great thinking when you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's very meditative, learning something new. I don't think of it like that. It's just I love the feeling of it. I love learning it and getting better and better and seeing, you know, this experience with this machine that you have and how you can push it and it pushes you and it's scary and it's fun. I just like the buttons it pushes in my head. I kind of need. I tried to ignore it, but had I grabbed it when I was 3 years old, I might have had a different life.
No, that's awesome because I drive a Yamaha scooter, 150cc. It's not as heavy as that. I can't take it on any tracks or anything like that. But that's very cool. Yeah. All right, well, thanks again for joining us here on Sound Sessions on WGN Radio. Have a great tour, man.
Thank you, man. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.